Welcome back to the Homeschool Advantage Podcast. I'm your host, Bex Buzzy. Today's guest is Dr. Amit Dangal, founder of NeuroStem. Amit has a passion to give back as well as be part of an intellectual, healthy, and growing community. After earning his PhD in physics, like all great intellects, he realized there must be more. But all the while, he was actually being challenged to find a school that would meet his gifted son's educational needs at the elementary age. Through much trial and error, they enrolled him in public school, private school, charter school, Montessori. I mean, the list goes on and on. However, not one of them was the right fit. So Amit decided to quit his job and took the opportunity to challenge and guide his own son through this educational journey. In efforts to better help his son, he actually began teaching physics in Austin Community College and Southwestern University, Georgetown in Texas, as an adjunct professor. And quite serendipitously, Amit realized there's a massive gap in our primary and secondary education versus the students at the college and university level. Seeing this disconnect in education compelled him to do something to correct and bridge the gap, especially when you have highly intelligent elementary age students not being challenged. Amit's passion to reach out and help the younger generation develop critical and logical thinking ultimately led him to create the class that was truly unique, hands-on, and individualized for the youth, and thus the creation of NeuroStem. In this episode, we talk about how you do not need to be a teacher, but instead, you can use multiple resources, both online and in person, where you can have services that focus in for homeschoolers. Also, how kids should be able to explore different avenues to grow in knowledge and skills. This will also help you parents to be part of your child's learning environment. And lastly, Amit wants your kids to be able to just think logically, ask great questions to find the right answers rather than just believing what is fed to them. So go grab your coffee, go grab your tea and a pen and paper, because you're not going to want to miss what Dr. Amit Dangal has to say. Let's get into the podcast. Please say hello to our listeners and tell us, what is something you feel most people just don't know about your industry?
Hi, I'm Amit.
Hi, I'm Avik. And it's Pooja.
Yeah, so we are a family. And since our son was a little bit advanced than regular other kids, and we are like a PhD in physics, so then we realized in school and all those things, the science, the physics especially, is set really, really backwards, and they were not given opportunity to explore. And then when they come to the college, and also we teach at universities and colleges, community colleges, and we saw a problem there with the kids. Like, you know, so they find physics, oh, it's really a hard subject, and they are really scared, and they try to push back as much as possible. And they find trouble, like in college, and then they drop out and all kind of things. So what we are doing at NeuroStem is we are trying to bring those kids and say, like, look, physics is not hard.
Right.
Right? It's just a concept. It's the mindset. So we want to change that mindset, and, like, you know, it's logical thinking. There is nothing like a memorization. There is always a memory that you need to do, a little fundamentals, but most of the things are in physics are logical. So, like, it helps you be more logical and think critically and analyze. And that's what we're trying to bring to the kids from early in the age, like, you know, try to introduce them from the middle school. Like,
yeah.
If possible, we can do it like from elementary, but like elementary, well, still I have to work out, but we are trying to introduce from the middle school, and so that they will be more comfortable as they go, and then they will be not scared. and like life would be so much easier. And then like we can expect our kids do really, really good.
Oh,
So
I
that's
love
what
that. That is so cool. Because I'm a physics teacher myself, and I realize that, you know, a lot of my students, they get really intimidated by the word physics. It's like you say physics and all of a sudden they're like, I can't do it. You're like, it's just logic. So I love that. I'm sorry, Pooja, you were saying something.
Yeah, so this started when I started my PhD program. We came here, you know, from Nepal and for our PhD program, and we had to TA, right? We are TA, teaching assistant. And when I was teaching like recitations or lab, and undergraduate student would, they were like from different diverse, you know, like background, like pre-med or engineering, nursing, you know, major, and they had to take physics, and they were just complaining, like, why do I have to take physics? When am I going to use it? And that was kind of like, you know, set me back. And then like, I think about it. And so when I do the, you know, in a, the research, like, what should I do my research so that I can make them understand that here we go, like, you know, physics can be used in, you know, medical or in nursing or, you know, engineering. And I was thinking so hard that what should I do is my resource so that I can bridge that connection between, you know, like chemistry, physics, math, engineering, or anything that that's happening in the real world. And that led me do interdisciplinary, you know, research. It's a biophysics, computational, and even chemistry, you know, all these merged together, like, which is, you know, which is my research. Like, that's what I did, the research. And my graduate student, I really wanted to go for the teaching university, and which I did, like, later on in my, as a career, I went to teaching. And there also, like, I tried to bridge that gap. And at Southwestern, I teach at Southwestern University, which is really a liberal, art liberal college, really small university. But it was still difficult for me to give that concept. And it was very, like, I mean, the student comes with that idea and belief that physics is hard. I don't need to do it. Why do I have to do it? That was kind of really sad. And no matter how much, you know, I tried, it was difficult. So that's how, you know, we figured that it's not in a college level, but we have to do it right from the
beginning.
School level, you know. That's when we have to start introducing physics in their life, so that, you know, the student who don't get chance, because they have to wait until their senior year to take the physics, right? So even in the public school, no matter how talented students are, like, that's a general trend. That's what we kind of figured out. And that's how this whole neurostem was born, that concept, you know, we wanted to...
You wanted to bridge the gap between Yeah, I get it. That's awesome. Yeah. So just to recap what you were saying in a nutshell. So basically, you guys realized early on that kids are not getting the concepts of physics, right? So you want to start introducing it at an earlier age. So by the time they hit even high school, they're so familiar with it that it's not this foreign subject, that it's actually part of their life. It's very logical and it's very easy to learn. So that's what your whole entire premise is, right? That's what your goal is. And I have to agree with you, because a lot of times as I'm teaching physics, I have to literally tell them, guys, this is just a mindset. This is just the way you think. Like, it's a very logical way of thinking, and it's not such a big deal. Like, a lot of times I'm like, okay, I'm in the beginning right now of physics again. So I'm only doing forces of motion. So it's super simple things like velocity and speed, nothing astronomical, right? And just the fact that I have to teach them, like, okay, so right now we're doing, it's multiplication and division. It's just that. Like, it's just, it's not that hard, guys. We learned this in third grade. Like, you know, like multiplication. I was like, it's okay. You know, or like, I'm like, you're just subtracting final from initial. It's subtraction. That's all it is. It's really simple. And it's those concepts, just trying to help them bridge that gap. Literally, it's just a little bridge. It's like, oh, so we use subtraction in physics? Yes. Oh, we use division in physics? Yes. You know, it's like, it's so hard for them to like bring those things together, because they're so used to living life in one class, two class, 3 class, you know, where it's not all together. And then when they get to college, they've been so trained in their brain to separate things. I've taught chemistry, biology, and physics. So like, even in my bio class, when we're doing reading, and you know, I'm going through like different techniques for like annotations and taking notes and sketch noting and teaching them all these different things, I'll have a student say, "This isn't an English class." And I'm like, "But you need English to be able to read the article, guys." So it's like it all comes together. So I totally understand where you guys are coming from. So how did your son get involved in all this? Because I know he's a little genius. Like, so how did all this come together? How did that become part of all of your studies and everything?
So like to begin with that, like, you know, we first realized that Avik knew numbers when he was 13 months old. So wow. I just asked him like, "Show me 7. And he just showed a 7. And I was like, "Oh, it might be a fluke." And he said, "Show me 2. And he just showed me 2. And like, "Show me 12. And he showed 12. 17. And like, wow, he knows the number. He'd been like knowing number like that early. And then we realized at 13 months old, right? And then we started giving him like another challenges, adding like more another things, like, you know, other material, like puzzles, 6-piece puzzle, 24-piece puzzle, and 6-piece puzzle, he did it, okay. And then 9-piece puzzle, okay. And then 24-piece puzzle, okay. And then, you know, and puzzles and numbers, right? So once we ran out of the numbers, what did he do is like, he went out to the refrigerator and he took each and every tomatoes, fruits, and counting and made a line, like, you know, all line. So like, whatever he can do, or like 100 and pass, like, wow. And he's counting, he's like, and everything that he finds, you know, so he was creating the environment. I know like we were giving the environment, but he was like dragging that, you know, the environment to provide him. There were like a screw and all this like toys. And he's like, okay, these are this number of holes. And he put a number on that one right below. And he arranged that one. I'm like, wow, he knows it. Like every time when we give something, and he used to do that. And later on, okay, and then I was like, we were like a little bit not sure if he just like just remembered the thing pictorially or does he understand, right? And yeah, we have to test it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Challenge, right? Every time. And then we tested him and like said, and then we gave him a problem and then he had to solve it. And then we asked him, what does it mean? Like, you know, and then we started like giving him negative numbers. And he used to do negative numbers like when he was 2 years old.
Wow.
Attraction. And I'm like, wow, negative numbers. And then we started giving him a physics because number is just there, right? Number is there. Number by itself doesn't make any sense, right? It's just a number. It's a reference. And then I started giving him some physics problem. And he started doing that one. I'm like, wow, he's really getting it. So yeah. I remember like when he was 6 years old, I gave him like a college physics problem and he solved that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, once I still remember he was almost 4 and I brought him a science, you know, book, like it's science of everything, really tiny book, and just in case. And he just started flipping around and saw the periodic table chart and he was like, "Mom, what is this?" And I started telling him, "Okay, so atom has like electron, proton," and I started doing hydrogen, you know, like small periodic table elements, and he got the idea. And ever since then, he was just like so intrigued by that concept, and he started doing all the like periodic table. And so we had to buy him the periodic table, you know, something
elements like a card.
You know, card, and he would arrange it. And it's so nice that, you know, you just have to search. YouTube have a lot of content. So there was a periodic table song and he would just like memorize all the periodic table song and sing, and he's also doing piano, so he would, you know, try to
that makes sense
play, yeah, play
more,
yeah.
Math.
And also like adding to that one, like, you know, in the periodic table, like since he brought it up, so he only not remember the number and the elements, and he's just like, okay, in group number 13, period number 2, what's that element? And he's just like, just like that.
Yeah. And
oh, wow.
And the property, and like, what are the property, transition materials, like, and all those things, and explaining each and everything. And still, I couldn't figure out, like, it was his memory or does he understand? Like, but looks like he understands everything.
Yeah.
And, so that was a challenge for us.
Yeah.
Because if we were not that educated, then he would have suffered. But because we understood what was the cases, and then we were able to help him and then get more and more into this one. And this is, he pulled us to have a new system because we were teaching him physics. And I said, like, okay, how about other kids of like similar? Because there are like several institutions, like for math, for English, public speaking, but there is not none for any physics, because we were looking at the beginning, because I was working for Samsung and Intel and I didn't have the time, and I was looking for like help, and I posted in several places, where can I get help? But there was no help. And then finally I said, like, okay, I will take the challenge.
Yes, exactly. And so NeuroSTEM was born through just watching your son grow in numbers and realizing that other kids, there might be other kids like him. There might be other kids who need this. And that's so true. But I think lately it's been such a focus on kids with learning challenges that we're forgetting that there are extremely gifted kids that need exactly the same kinds of resources, but in a sense of challenging them, not that they're challenged, but that we have to bring them now a challenge that we can increase their understanding, help them get to that next level, and help them really just become the person that they were created to be. Because they're obviously, your son is going to do something amazing, right? Like something, you don't get a brain like that just for nothing. It's just, you know what I mean? Like there's obviously some type of gift. There's a gifting on him. There's a plan that he's going to do something great, and we're all looking forward to it. And I always encourage parents and my own students, I always say you have to really push yourself to find out what you're made of. Like, who are you? Because someone's going to need what you know in this world. And like, there's going to be that. So I love the fact that you guys started something with that understanding for other kids. So like, talk to me about NeuroSTEM. How does NeuroSTEM work? What is it all about? What, when parents log on to that, what will they be seeing?
So in NeuroSTEM, like, as we said, like, you know, so its main idea is to make aware of like a science and physics, especially because the physics is the foundation, right? So if you go to chemistry, you still need a physics. And if you go to biology, you still need a physics force. Whenever there's a force, there's a physics, right? So the basic foundation, if you don't understand physics, force, then it will be hard to understand any other thing, right? So the foundation, that's the foundation that we want to create. So, and at NeuroSTEM, the way we do is like, not that we give them the textbook and okay, read this, do the problems. And there's not only a one way of path, because generally what we have learned, or like we hear from the like a lot of parents. So they used to guide their kids at home, right, for the math. And then the teacher gave a feedback to the parents, and also the student used to give a feedback to the parents itself. Don't teach me, because the way you teach me is totally different than what at school I'm being taught. And then if I do your way, I'll get penalized. I have to do what the teacher said. And for us, it's no, there is not a one way to look at the problem. So there's a multiple different ways. So we try to let them explore all the avenues. Like, you know, so it's the process. We basically believe in the process of learning rather than getting a right answer. So that's what we're trying to process, like find the wrong answer, find the right answer. What happens if you do this? What happens if you do that? Right. Unless, not that you harm yourself, but like, you know, so try to find all the avenues and then see and understand. And then you'll have a real understanding. And then when you go to the real world, then you already know the consequences of your doing, right? Right or wrong. So you have a reason to say it. And that's what the platform that we try to give.
That's so awesome.
Always say, okay, what are the syllabus you cover? Yeah, this is the syllabus, but again, it depends from the students to student, right?
Yeah.
Some students can absorb, if whatever they can absorb, we provide more until they completely exhaust. Or how much, if they want more and more. And as you mentioned, like earlier, there are two spectrum in the bell curve. So in our society, we have like a lot of, you know, resources for the left-hand side of the bell curve, but right-hand side is totally left off, because they're like, oh, you already know it. You don't need to do it. So you are already the level. Yeah. Right?
And that's terrible.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, we learn Newton's second law when we are in, let's say, middle class, middle school, you know, and we do the same thing when we are doing master's level, like classical mechanics, right? So it's like that, you know, like at NeuroSTEM, whichever, wherever you are at, We try to customize their learning. So if they need more, we can go more. If they are in here, we can do that, you know. So that's who we are.
Your son does a lot of the videos, right?
Yeah, so when he was a kid, so every time what he used to say is like, Baba, take a video. And then he'll, I want to post it to YouTube. That's what he used to do. And then, he made a website, his website, when he was 6 years old. It's still live, avikdangal.com. And we try to put his little bit of progress for others to see and others to encourage, and also for his track record, because we are doing a homeschool and we have to keep a track, right? So that's a good way of keeping a track.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I'm sorry.
No, yeah. I was just going to say, so you guys use Legos, right? You guys use Legos
and different
kinds of things like that?
Sorry, I forgot. And also we use a Lego. And then this time, last year, we also did the Lego competition and we won the local and we qualified around and we went to the regional. Unfortunately, at that time, the Lego didn't have a proper traction. And from that experience, we learned something. There's a friction is missing. And also with the physics, right? Your robot is here, your wheel is here. And we had arms spread out, right? And the mass distribution was so much on the outside of the robot. So it was not able to pull. And then they had to come up with a design, how to bring everything to the center so that the wheel still have a traction. That's a perfect example of applications of physics. Why?
Yes.
Come up with the reason. Why it was not tracking? It's a physics, right? So it's because the mass distribution was uneven. And then we brought it back. And also how to design engineering, right? So how to make it efficient. So all those kind of things adds up. And so this is how they are learning. And even without them knowing that they are learning physics, they are already learning physics.
Exactly. That's so awesome. So as we're wrapping it up, where can they go to find your website and your resources?
So we have our website. It's at neurostemtx.com. So TX stands for Texas.
Okay.
And also we have a Facebook page called Neurostem. So these are the two main things. And recently I put a TikTok because everyone wants to have a TikTok. So
they
I put the TikTok channel. Where I'm trying to put small videos every week so that the whoever are interested and don't have all the sophisticated instrument with a simple home-based experiment where they can be interested in physics. So I'm trying to put videos, every simple videos, a simple experiment where they can see and experience, because physics is everywhere. Science is all around you. You just need to see it, So that's what we're trying to do. And I'm trying to put it in that way.
Excellent. So as we're wrapping up, what is one big takeaway you want to leave families with today?
Whenever we say homeschooling, even we went through that process. So when we say we want to do homeschool to our son, we are done with public school, private school, we tried, it didn't work out. And we were so scared. How do I going to do that homeschool? It's just big challenges. So I have to teach them. I have to know this, that. And we were going for different resources. And then we realized to become a homeschooler, you are just an admin. You don't have to be a teacher. You can be a guide. You just need to show them the path. Okay, so you are stuck here. Okay, here are the resources. Find it, explore it, and get a reason and solve it. And in between, you'll also learn with your kids. At the same time, your kids is learning. And trust me, your kids will learn a way faster than you can learn. So you don't have to be a teacher. And there are a lot of resources in online. There's online G3 and also Athena's free website from MIT. They have all these resources. And on top of that one, so for the local people, if they want to do some hands-on experiments, so that's why we had a NeuroSTEM, so that they can do this hands-on experiments. And the experiment that I have is more sophisticated to the college level. I can use the same thing up to the college level and to the kids level. So they can feel it, experience it. And when they go to the college, to the real world, so they are already ready. And another thing that I would like to add is so the way the courses that we have been learning for the physics and science, it's more than a 2 decades, 3 decades. So the same curriculum we are following, right? But with the same curriculum, nowadays the technology and science has advanced so far ahead. So we have to do something with the curriculum, unless we do something, because these kids will be behind. And another reason, these kids are so much fast learner, because now they have all the resources. for them to learn. So that's why. So we have to do something with the curriculum. And that's what NeuroSTEM is looking forward to, make some change and, you know, put an impact. And all this credit goes to our son, Avik. So he's the resources and encouragement to do this and help other kids as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for coming on. And yeah, thank you for sharing all of your understanding, your wisdom, and your knowledge. And it's been awesome having you guys on today.
And thank you for giving us an opportunity to talk to you and then sharing our views.
Thank you so much for letting us talk about our little NeuroSTEM, where we want to really help community grow their knowledge ever since they were like little kids.
Awesome. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
If you love the conversations we're having here on the Homeschool Advantage podcast, follow or subscribe our podcast to stay in the loop and never miss this amazing content. And please highly consider taking a minute to leave a positive rating and review to help others like you discover this show. See you next time.